right now, I ain't going to say nothing yet. But David,
why,
you know I will come back.
Why,
you know I will
why
come back.
Why are you going
years,
to hold back?
No. You see, then you have, and I blame the present opposition for this. You have allowed, if you go, that's why I am very concerned. When you have 30 members in parliament, everything that come to you going sound well because you don't have nobody else to oppose it. And that's why you made mention that when you went into independence, mm-hmm. you had so much different groups that draw on their own side what they think that it should be, what should be done. So it wasn't a one-way issue that you're going down the same road. You had to pull back, push back, to make the public understand this is the case why we are going into independence. And
you require interest groups to help in that regard.
Exactly. We need people to question this issue of republic. Now, you had a caller earlier.
You've been on for a fair amount of time.
Give me this last point. You had a caller earlier, my friend, I don't know if he's still my friend, that spoke to you about the things that Glenn Clark did and the roads. Would you believe that my friend, there's a road leading from Cottage to Briscot where he lives, and he would tell me he can't travel that road is too bad. But that is how politics go. I would not go any further because he was, I would say, he actually managed Glenn campaign.
Oh, that's why you can speak with such authority about all these things.
Exactly, because I would tell you, I spoke on every meeting that Glenn spoke, except our national meeting. And he organized all. And I would tell you this, that I always say, we never thought Glenn would have stepped down. He said he was going to make that his last. That Glenn didn't have to do much work in that last program. Glenn is working harder in St. George North for Tony Moore. Did he work? He telling you when he was elected in 2018.
Yeah, let's move on away from the nitty-gritty of the St. George North by-election as much as possible. I'd like to move away from the nitty-gritty of that. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Ready? Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a little question.
Mm-hmm.
I would like Dr. Cave at the hospital to tell us what is his conception of emergency. And I'm not talking about Cassidy and emergency. I want to know about tests and so on. And MRI requested, of the 30 urgent MRI requested, on the 30th of a month, could you get the date given for that test? The 11th of the next month.
But you do recall that part of the problem that the hospital faces is that COVID created quite a challenge for them, because a number of matters had to be pushed back. As a result, the urgency that you would have attached to certain matters previously has been seriously impacted. So I understand your concern. You sound like somebody who regularly calls this program, but you don't sound well. It seems as though you've had some setback with your health.
Yeah, I had all the years of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Panic attacks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, my psychiatrist saw me at home on the 12th of February.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really, really depressed. And on the 13th, the next day, I had a massive stroke.
Oh, dear.
So when I went to the hospital, because urgent care, they sent me to the hospital, and an urgent MRI was requested. And then I heard, I wasn't conscious, but I was hearing everything that was going on. I heard the doctor say, well, the urgent appointment date that we got is the 11th of March, which would have been a month and a day away. But fortunately, there aren't people who would not be able to pay to have the MRI done. But fortunately, my daughters were able to take me over to Belleville. So I wanted to know if...
So that means that you had to pay for it privately?
Yeah, my daughters took me over the next day because I had to wait to get over on a requisition form.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people out there. Urgent MRI, not urgent, nothing else. But, you know, it's not an urgent fracture because a fracture will heal if you don't mend it. Even if it heals crooked, but an MRI of the brain, and 1 month after. But then you see, I wonder, how about all those people who don't have insurance and there's no way of getting things done? These people will be dead before they get the MRI done.
So you know, you are touching on one of those hidden stories in the country at the moment. It is.
Well, you can't talk about anything. You can't talk about anything.
You don't. We really need to be in a better position to assess just what impact, the full impact that COVID has been having on the delivery of health services in the country, the extent to which the private providers have found themselves making more or less money as a result of this situation.
I'm talking to Mr. Ellis.
Pardon?
That's my daughter. What am I doing at Brass Tax? Yeah, me. But however, Mr. Ellis, what I'm saying is at the time, COVID had only just reared its head. It hadn't pushed back anything yet. But I'm wanting to say...
But before you go any further, hold on a minute. Yes. Your daughter banned you from calling Brass Tax?
Yes.
Why?
God might talk the wrong thing.
So why you can give her the jitters today by coming on the radio?
She would know that my voice is strong, but she's going to have to keep the jitters.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But anyway, what I'm saying is that I would like to everybody to know.
I want to get a sense from you, though, of how you have fared through all of this. I mean, at the end of the day, it is one thing to talk about the length of time that it's taken, but you've been through a very significant health setback. How have you been coping through all of this?
Well, I tell you what, this is fair. I didn't even know I was anxious until my heart catapulted 2 nights, and I had to sit up to sleep. Next morning, it came back about 11 o'clock. I told my daughter I wanted to go to FMA. She looks at me. She said, Mommy, what's wrong with your face? Because it was red like a cherry. I went over to FMA.
Tell me this. In all of this, what would you say has been your biggest lesson of all?
Well, I'll tell you first, I strongly believe in God and in prayer. And I know I've been on the program several times before, and I always say I've been getting constant treatment. And at one time, my appointment system, my psychiatrist, came down to every 2 weeks. But I know that it was the medication. After a while, it doesn't work anymore. But I still have to go and take it. But I've always said, it's only because of the will of God and His Son that has kept my sanity intact. I don't know, Mr. Ellis, how I do it.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that you're improving. I'm sorry that you've had this kind of setback that you've shared with us today. And I sincerely hope that you will continue to see significant improvement in your health, okay? And thanks for calling us. All right, thank you. Now, here is this contribution that someone has written to us. They've asked me to keep their details private. And I certainly don't want to expose you. I don't think I have enough information here to expose you anyhow. This person says that they're concerned about the amount of work and stress that the women at the Best Dos Santos clinic are exposed to and have to endure. The writer says that in light of the pandemic, the amount of hours they have had to work without overtime pay and without hazard allowance and without adequate rest is going to prove untenable. They're saying that this just cannot be sustained. And now, after reading this on this son, Dr. Best stated that HIV and CD4 will resume this week. Similarly, says the writer, there are increased flights this week. This is not going to work. They need more staff and more trained staff. They need to at least double or triple the present new complement of 9 or 10. The writer says 4 women from before and now a few temporary volunteer staff that they have now regularized. Despite this addition, they are still behind the curve. And the writer says it needs to be fixed immediately. And they point out that the ladies doing COVID-19 tests are the ones who do the HIV and CD4 tests. So this writer is particularly concerned about the stress that the people who are working at the Best Dos Santos Clinic are, the stress that they are under. You know, we talk a lot about these COVID-19 tests, and I mean, up to today I saw some additional information which I'll share with you on that. But we forget the work that is put in by these people behind the scenes, and I compliment the writer for at least taking time out to recognize that this is the situation that confronts these workers. And if wherever possible the government can assist in trying to increase the number of people who are available, but that's, you know, you have to be specially trained to be able to do that work, and trying to find those people out there may not be as easy as some people may want, may believe. This person says, I agree with the caller. My family member is waiting on an MRI of the brain following 2 strokes and can't get an appointment until the end of October. So the system is under pressure. This other person says, I know a gentleman right now who was admitted with bleeding on his brain 2 weeks ago. And up to now, is still waiting for an MRI because he can't get it done without finding approximately $2,000. Some friends are now trying to assist him to raise the funds because he's been on sick leave with another issue for a few months now and didn't have the resources to pay for that MRI on his own. How many other cases do you know like this? This system is under some stress. And as I said, we don't get enough of an examination of this type of pressure that people are facing. The whole country is under a degree of stress in trying to cope with what has happened here since COVID-19 came and upset the entire apple cart. What do you believe can be done? What are your suggestions? How do you believe that the government and the people of this country can work more closely together in tackling this kind of issue? For some people, this is a matter of life and death. And there are those who may be privileged enough. They may have insurance, health insurance, and they are able to go to the private doctor or the private clinic and get the assistance that is required. But then there are others who are, like this man, having to depend upon friends or family to try to raise the money so that he can go and get it done privately. In all of this, what are the answers? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program. You're on the air?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Mr. Ellis?
Hi.
This MRI situation is a serious situation, and a lot of us who are well and doesn't have a problem right now, we play very slight and easy with it. Right? There is nowhere that the hospital should not have an MRI machine and functioning. Nowhere at all.
That's the problem? The MRI machine at the QEH isn't functioning?
What do you think? So what do you think that they're not getting the MRI? I had a situation already where they needed to get an MRI and they had to go and get it done privately.
And what reason did they give? Perhaps the hospital should tell us what it is.
You need to investigate that some more. Either the machine is not functioning or they don't have one that is working anymore at all. And these excuses that they're coming up with is unacceptable for the people of Health of Barbados. You imagine that if you need an MRI in the situation that the gentleman just called and he starts bleeding in his brain or whatever, he doesn't have that threat, that problem. You know, within a short period of time, he will pass away. Huh? And I think that is one situation that we take too easy, and the hospital is very silent on these type of situations, and people are losing their lives. They're losing their lives.
How close have you come to this issue?
Pardon me?
How close have you come to this particular issue?
I have had numbers of situations dealing with the QEH. I remember carrying an old friend of mine there that wasn't well to fall and had internal bleeding. Mm. And you know what? They put her on the ward. To do a borehole to let out the blood or whatever, and but it doesn't have the drill to do the borehole. Put her on the ward, and within 2 weeks she died.
Well, I must tell you, the hospital seems to do a very good job of concealing its challenges. Because, I mean,
but if you have to get, I bet you that if 100 people could get on this program to talk about that situation this morning, that there probably will even be more that will call in.
Well, I could tell you, for instance, I met this taxi driver in St. Joseph, and he said to me that he the next morning he had to pick up this elderly lady at 3 o'clock in the morning to take her to outpatients at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and that I should go down there around 3 or 4 and see that as early as that people go to sit down there waiting to be attended to at the QEH. And he lamented the fact that this was happening to elderly people in Barbados.
Exactly. To me, this is my conclusion in Barbados, right? It might sound harder. When you go to the hospital, when you pass a certain age, it seems like there's no help for you. They're telling themselves you already live your life, so there's no help for you at that QEH.
On what basis have you come to that conclusion?
I've come to that conclusion with the amount of elderly people that I dealt with went to the hospital and did not get the adequate amount of attention that they need. That is my conclusion. And I've heard that from numerous other people also. Because a lot of these stories are not voiced. A lot of these stories are not known. You only hear about them in the streets or whatever. You come in contact with somebody that had a similar experience or whatever the case may be. But I think it is so heartbreaking to see. Yes, it might cost some money. But I believe also that the system is frustrated that you have to go and pay to get the MRI. You understand? A poor man cannot afford to go and get an MRI. He can't pay for it.
Well, this person says to me that they say, I am a nurse in the hospital and the QEH doesn't perform MRIs. The person said last October, I was diagnosed with uterine mass. I needed to get an MRI. I had to pay for it. I had to pay $2,000 at Diagnostic and Radiology Services in Warrens.
Okay.
And still wasn't able to have it done until the 6th of December because they were all booked up. So there seems to be a pressure that is mounting in the country as it relates to getting MRIs. And this is the kind of, and you see, this is what I talk about in terms of trying to use a forum like this to highlight exactly what is happening in the country. And I'm amazed sometimes at how people suffer in silence in Barbados.
Exactly, and it has been going on for too long now. Let me tell you, and I'm saying, what is the reason that the hospital doesn't have an MRI machine?
I really would have to depend upon the QEH to spell out what are the challenges it is facing in that regard. They need to tell the public. I mean, but if so many people are affected by something that is as important as this, I marvel at the silence on an issue like this. Really amazing.
You're not hearing anybody coming out from the QEH and talking about this. Why is the hospital not having an MRI machine in this day and age where most of the patients, when you have certain sickness, you have to have an MRI? Why the QEH does not have an MRI machine? And it's annoying to even talk about it. You know how many people have lost their life because of this fact? Because they don't have the money to go and pay. You end up losing your life. It should never be like this in the country. And people are running about here talking all kind of nonsense about politics and all kinds of...
That's the point. You know, what we get caught up in a whole set of, like, the guys who call here today talking about roads. And, you know, something like this. This person says, my mother, God rest her soul, had a similar bad experience which caused her to lose her life. So all of this is now coming to the fore. But this is something that is particularly important in Barbados at the moment. And we should be pressing those who are in the responsible positions to account to the people of Barbados for this situation. Yeah. Tell us how long this has been so, why it has been so for so long, and what is the best that you can do in the interest of the people across this country. That's what needs to be done.
And I will go on now, but I believe that we need to hear a statement from the QEH about this today.
Well, I hope that they will say something, all right? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Peace be unto you, Mr. Ellis.
Yes,
staff,
ma'am.
And all listeners.
Yeah.
It is true. If you probably don't listen to all the programs, but either earlier this year or late last year, I was speaking about machines that really weren't fixing and needed at the hospital. And I was even saying, too, that they need to carry people overseas, because sometimes they say that they have to bring people from overseas to fix these machines, and sometimes they don't have people here that can fix the machine. So when they get, if a machine donated to them, or if they're buying a machine, and everything, you can say where government is concerned, buses, everything, they should carry people and train them so that they will have people here, at least three. And I said that not long ago. They don't have no MRI at the machine. And people, what the gentleman said, is too long wait for the thing. Who could afford to pay? I was trying for, must be about nearly 3 years. I got some money, but I don't know if my friends, and then felt that I wanted to swindle them or whatever. But thank God, with prayer, I think I got through. But I had to wait, and people out there are waiting also. And I thank my doctors and them who tried and fought and helped me. But I tried to pay for it too, because I wanted to know what was going on. But I didn't get the amount of money that I wanted to get it done. I asked my friends and them, and I got some, but not all. But it is a long way. So what the gentleman said is not in no lie. And then if you got to go to the hospital, yes, you got to go there early. When I have to go on certain appointments.
How early?
I leave home at 5:30, 6:00.
By the time you get there, how many other people are there already?
A lot of people there, especially who come in for dressing and medicine. Who going for dressing and who going for eyes, and for medicine. Yeah.
But so these are the pressures that are mounting in this country, and all you get is a lot of silly talk about all sorts of other stuff. And, you know, when something as significant as this is happening in the country.
Mr. Ellis not crossing. You people scared. People, a lot of people scared to talk because this is the hospital. So people.
Well, perhaps that's what it is.
A lot of people say they ain't saying nothing because they ain't able to go in hospital and such and such a thing happened to them. I am not criticizing it, but they got a lot of people out there, and I said that too. They got a lot of people in this country that have money that could help assist with those kind of things. I said this there too. I don't mind if they charge me something. Because if you got to go and get it, though, so we got to pay a lump sum. So if you have to pay the hospital, you don't mind paying. But they need to put the machines there for a lot of people that can do it and some that can't do it. But even if you pay it in installments, I know they got a lot of dishonest people. But even if you could pay it in installments, you don't mind. You know, they need to get an MRI machine at the hospital for children. I hope that somebody that listening here in this country or overseas,
I hope that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital will tell us exactly what the situation is. Whether they have a machine, whether they don't have one, what exactly is happening. I don't want to go just on the basis of the comments that I hear from members of the public. There are some people who have a perception, as you do, that they lack an MRI machine. Therefore, let's find out what is happening. This person says, if you don't have medical insurance or available funds for private medical care in Barbados, then you suffer or will pass away. They make this point. The poor are always at risk. Lots of old political talk and nothing about practical, critical thinking. People expect better than this. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, sir. I am speaking to myself. I'd like to talk about the standing last year in June, my brother was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Was in the hospital for 2.5 months. Luckily, some friends put together a pair for his understanding that this is a city of what he was supposed to have treatment for. He was a very traveler. So I am thinking from my experience, he was a very traveler. Well, he had the friends and family together and paid $2,000 to get that car. They said it was not working. We had the surgery, but some fantastic doctors. I had to compliment them. And he was supposed to have treatment also because he was supposed to have treatment also. This is a year now. He's over. He's walking and talking, but he didn't walk and talking. He's out now. But this is a year now. Just a year and a half now. That he didn't get the treatment. And we sent letters to speak, and nothing was happening. So I can't understand what the people are saying, but it was a really painful process, and then to bring him up a vegetable, I had to train him in everything that he can walk and talk. No.
Okay.
So I am supporting. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks, hello. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
Yeah. You asked a caller a little while ago on what basis he could come to the conclusion that the hospital don't want the people there, something like that. But this is the basis I will come to the conclusion. I took my grandmother to the hospital. It was a little time back. And when I got there, the young daughter asked me, how old is she? And I said she was 98 years old. And he asked me, so what are you bringing her here for? He's very short of telling me, look, this woman old enough, the innocent saints bringing she at the place. the woman going home and dying. And he did admit her and everything. I used to visit her, and she lived an extra year. And I feel that, not because people are old, you got to treat them badly. Because, you know, our grandmother came along with us, very, very well as children. She was like a youngish looking lady to me. And so the bond is there that I can't appreciate or understand her being old. I'm seeing her like another human being, like a brother, a sister. So when the doctor is suggesting she's too old to be taken into the hospital, it really made me feel really bad, you know, about it. So that's the basis for which I could agree with the guy that they seem not to want you there if you're old. The other thing is this, in Ireland growing up, hospital was really a bad place. We always had bad experiences with it. And bad meaning that you're going one day and you're still there to the next day at the casualty. And I really thought things improved over time. But I remember about 8 years or so ago, someone went into the hospital, was taken to the hospital by ambulance one day, and the person, I saw them 2 days later, and they told me up to 5 o'clock the next day. They went in 8 o'clock the night. 5 o'clock the next day, they were still there, not attended. So I said, it means up to 5 o'clock the morning, you won't get attention? She said, not 5 o'clock the morning, she said 5 o'clock the evening the next day. Unbelievable. So the service at the hospital really is bad. But I think that everybody, a lot of people are aware and just feel that nothing can be done about it, nothing is done about it. But at the end of the day, it seems to me that it needs political will to change things at the hospital, but it seems to be very bad. Another guy I've been talking to recently, month before, he was to get a blood test, because it's not only in the hospital itself, but the culture, like, it goes right through the polyclinics as well. And he wants a blood test. They're sending him to, this is Sir Vincent Scott Center, to Oystein. When they get an Oystein, they tell you, no, they can't do it there. Go back down there. And I asked him up to a few minutes ago before he come on the radio to get it. Yeah, he's still not up to know. Can I get a basic blood test?
Well, you know? I am reliably informed here now that the QEH has never had an MRI machine. Never. And a doctor is telling me this. The hospital makes arrangements for MRI investigations to be done in the private sector through the medical aid scheme. So those who can are encouraged to pay privately. The medical aid scheme covers absolute emergencies, and those who cannot afford to pay for their MRI investigations. The question I have, therefore, on the basis of this information is this. Let's accept that it never had an MRI machine. But do we consider that that is acceptable? Is this the way that we should continue? Is there any plan at all to change this particular aspect of the system at the QEH? I mean, the other issue that would come to mind would be, what is the analysis of the number of cases that require this kind of investigation? How has that changed over the years? Are we getting more of these cases? Are we getting fewer of them? You know, given all that has been happening within the society, are we not necessarily in an environment where there is a greater demand for this? This is something that we have to find a solution to based upon the kinds of complaints that people have. No MRI machine in the QEH ever? This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello. I think that we have had, over the years, complaints for the hospital in so many different areas. And the intensity of the discussion this morning suggests that things have not really improved over time. However, your organization and the Nation newspaper have had the influence of making changes in Barbados, and I would suggest that this is one of the things that y'all can work on, mobilizing people to make an impact in this very area with the MRI. So I would wish to suggest, sir, that your company investigate with the government what you all can do, and from there, just as how you have Walk for the Cure and other promotion drives, that we do something about it so as not to keep on lamenting, but taking action.
Well, I thank you so much for the suggestion. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
I want to say to you that what that gentleman said about old people, I took my mom there about 3 years ago. My mom was 93. And they don't seem to have been interested about looking after my mom at all. They just said, figure, well, she was...
You there?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Ellis. Right. And my mom was 93, and they weren't interested. They don't care about old poor people in this country at that hospital, Mr. Ellis. That's a true fact. They don't get on as though they're human beings like anybody else. That's something I've had on my chest for a long, long time, because they don't care. They don't figure that they're going to get old. And it's very, very, very bad indeed. There's something need to be done about that. They don't care?
Well, you know, when you're dealing with medical ethics, they sometimes take positions that to the rest of the people, they may appear to be harsh. They make judgment calls about resources, how you use limited resources, and therefore, when confronted with the elderly, some, and this is not all, some people hold the position that the slender resources that you have should go to look after the young who have a contribution to make, and that the elderly are on their way out. Some people hold that view. Other people are like you. They have the view that elderly people are people too.
They are for the birds, as far as I'm concerned. You have to learn to look after elderly persons. Once you're over 80, they don't care. They're for the birds. They don't care. And they don't get on as though that they have elderly persons in their family.
Okay.
Like, very, very, I'm very upset about that, not looking after our elderly persons.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to win on this MRI talk, and I want to couple it with something I'm going to say. They want people to listen to me properly. Now, the first thing, we make it abundantly clear, when I say what I'm saying, it's not by opposing our government or opposing Miss Morley or none of the sort. Let me get with you here. But I'm saying...
Why you have to say so?
Because of why I know stupid people. I out there every day. I know what people be saying and how people... You would hear a caller make a certain call and somebody would call and saying that you're attacking government and all this. So I'm saying that to vindicate myself that that's not the case. Now, I am saying, people are talking about the MRI. We are hearing that, I think Ms. Marley announced in the last week that they're going to buy a couple more buses, 30 more buses or something. I would wear the buses from the standpoint of, there's not that amount of work. A lot of things are now done virtual and home base, and a lot of the work has been taken to be done at home, etc. If there's not that influx of person traveling, pray tell me, I would not invest in 30 more electric buses, because I am watching to see carefully the amount of blame that you have with the ZMs and the ZR with the minibus and the et cetera together. There's no outcry again about the public traveling and that problem. So I would challenge some of that money toward the MRI for the country, because there's so many thousands of people that have got passed through that hospital. The MRI would be more forward thinking and more necessary now than the immediate purchasing of buses.
You know, the fascinating thing about medical care in Barbados. It's this blend of private and public care in the country. Not so long ago, I heard them whispering in some quarters about the surgeons and how the surgeons got their own private this and that.
I've been going on for long.
However, the extent to which we have this alliance between what happens in the QEH and what happens in the private sector and private medical care is something that needs to be watched in Barbados, because while there are many aspects of our public care that we can, you know, celebrate and be thankful for, people are left to wonder the extent to which there is this apparent complicity, the systemic complicity that pushes more and more people to the private care. And in all of this, there is also the issue of the insurance companies and the role that they play. And we are not getting that assessment. You know, there's nobody there telling us, you know, where is this taking Barbadians? A large part of our healthcare system is already privatized. Essentially, that's what it is, huh?
If you're paying taxes and the government has an obligation to care to the public in respect to healthcare, etc., what do you expect average poor people that the means can't afford? What you would expect them to do? That's the question that has to be answered. What do you expect them to do? Just day off?
I mean, when I'm told here about the medical scheme to get assistance to get for an MRI, what I am not aware of is the speed with which the thing is processed. You know, it is all well and good to have it there, but if it's going to take somebody a reasonably long time to get it, and of course,
let's shake up that.
What I'm told by the doctor is that it is for emergencies. So you can have situations where people may just be borderline. So in those circumstances, you know, some people will fall through the cracks. I really think it is something that needs to be discussed a bit more, and to see to what extent we can come up with a system.
Exactly. I will back you there.
That will stop people from sitting down bleeding for a week and 2 weeks. And possibly dying.
But that's what I'm saying. If people just go away and just day off, that can't be acceptable. No, no. But I remember hearing Senator Dr. Jerome Walker reporting about his Senate the evening. And your radio station got all that kind of information they could pull. He said there was a $20 million situation. I hospital. He said there's 13 that you can't follow. Probably we said there's a 7. They don't care with Detroit. They can't follow that 7. I remember that. And if you pull it up at your station, you're fine. You can go back and get that shot from Dr. Jerome Walker. It's a $20 million situation there at a hospital. And I hear him about it from the time he said that evening. So these are the things. Look, I can tell you. But anyhow, I thank God for his mercy to me. I hope that things improve for persons here. I regard it.
The policymakers really need to speak to this issue. Is this something that we are going to continue with? Are we going to... if we're going to follow this line that says the hospital is not going to have an MRI, then how can you improve the alternative that you have available? To me, that is a question that needs to be answered. To me, from all I'm hearing from people, this is inadequate. What we have here is inadequate for many people. This is down to brass tacks. This person says, when all this talk over the QEH is over, when this program is over, will there be any follow-up? This is the problem we face. We can talk and highlight an issue today, and next week we move on. Does the media not have a role to play beyond highlighting these issues? Where is the investigative journalism? It is non-existent. So be it. It is non-existent. So in the meantime, if it is non-existent, we do what we can do here. All right? Highlight it. And at various points, things are followed up. But the first point of reference is to draw to national attention that this problem exists, all right? And it is not just the media. Let me say something to people like you who wrote the piece there just now. You think that you all escape the scrutiny and the responsibility of dealing with matters that impact on your lives? Part of what I experienced as a journalist for many years is that you all sit down and do nothing and look for somebody else to come and fight your war for you so that you can sit down at home and be comfortable and do nothing, you know, and feel that you're smug, pointing the accusing finger at whether it's the media, this body, the next body. You got responsibility. You could end up in a situation where you need an MRI tomorrow. The media is only here to help you. But you also have to help yourself. You know, look how many people sit down here over these months and perhaps years and sit down and endure this thing here without getting MRI treatment and investigation and say nothing at all about it. We are all in this together. Whether you're the media or a member of the public, a taxpayer, a potential patient, we are all in this together. And whenever all is said and done, the same media that you're talking about, we depend upon people like you to stand up and be counted. Many times when you turn up and I ask you all to explain your situation, not me, nobody into spite me, nobody into victimize me, don't use my voice, all sorts of stuff when it comes with. The media is as good and as bad as the society that it serves. This is down to brass tacks.
Ms. Dennis?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I want to endorse what you said when you spoke about the media helping people. We, the people, got to speak about these things, and the media will facilitate us by bringing it to the attention of the wider public. True or not?
That's how I see it. I mean, we there has to be cooperation.
Yeah.
All right? When you all sit down out there and you sit on issues, right? You don't draw them to our attention, so we must just get up one morning and formulate an idea as to,
yeah.
I feel like I'm going to pursue this one today. But it is helped to a large extent by people saying, look, this is the problem that I am facing. And on the basis of that, the media then responds by saying, let me get to the bottom of this. Let me find out why the problem exists and what ideas exist for trying to improve the situation.
The media is just the facilitation for whatever the wider public is experiencing. But let me tell you something about your hospital, right? My daughter was on the pediatric ward one time, and she had to get some clips put in her hip. And they was waiting for some technician to come and fix a machine they call a C-arm. And for 2 weeks, my daughter used to be on the ward, in her bed, laying down crying every day and night. I would go from work to the ward and from the ward back to work. And one day I get so mad. And I went to Tennyson Springs. He was the director at the time. And I told him, Mr. Springs, because I know him, we play cricket together. I said, Mr. Springs, why don't you this door? My daughter's experiencing a lot of pain, and every day the people tell me, what are we going to do the operation tomorrow? And for 2 weeks, nothing happened. And if anything happened to my daughter in this hospital, I ain't got nothing, but me, this hospital got issues. And he tell me, all right, I can sort you out. And he tell me, go back on the ward with my daughter. And about 10 o'clock, some people for my daughter, and they took her down to the ambulance. I went with her, and we went to Bayview. And Jay Thorne did the operation. And as soon as she was finished and she came out the recovery room, we went back to the hospital. And that was the end of that. But let me tell you something else, Mr. Ellis. I personally believe, right? This is my belief, and I know that people will not agree with me, but this is what I think. I think it is high time in this country that people start paying user fees at the hospital. Because in as much as you just hear people saying the hospital this, the hospital that, there got a lot of people that abuse the hospital as well. And I believe that there should be some user fees at the hospital, even if it's minimal. And once you got a red ID card, then you get your services free. But before you get your right ID card, like from 21 and up to about 65, you should be paying a user fee. Because people abuse the hospital all the time, all the time. I heard a woman say on this calling program that she used to go and get us old lady medication. And then one day she said, let me check and see what she would bought this medication. When he better want to check the medication. And the woman had a whole ledge full of medication that was never used. And that's years of medication. She got up and talked there. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. If you're going to pay user fees at your hospital, a lot of things that's happened won't happen because people know I got to pay for this, so I can't afford it.
So what happens to the people who cannot afford that?